to follow on the flip side of when do we still need to do an axillary dissection, we have Dr. Barbara Smith, who is the chief of breast surgery at the Massachusetts General Hospital here in Boston.
All right, well, thank you very much. I think you'll see that Mara and I have some things in common on our talks, and those are the things you know are really important because you need them for both parts of the discussion about sentinel node or dissection. So my charge was to talk about when is axillary dissection still recommended. I have no disclosures. And just my own brief summary of this landscape is that axillary node status still remains very important for prognostic factors. It still guides a lot of our systemic therapy and radiation decisions. We know that treating involved axillary nodes prevents the local complications that you'd get from a recurrence. And there's some data from the evidence that local recurrence can lead to worse survival, that it may help prevent a second round of distant metastases. But management of positive nodes continues to change. We have better systemic therapy. We can use radiation instead of dissection for many patients. And we're now even more profiling tumors and finding some tumors who are going to that will be exquisitely sensitive to some of our therapies. And all this may make surgery less important for some patients. Modern axillary dissection is clearance of level 1 and 2 nodes with sparing of the important vessels and nerves. I encourage you to either excise palpable level 3 nodes if you get in there and there's some easy ones you can reach, or put clips by the ones you can palpate but don't feel safe taking out to help guide radiation. This operation is good for both staging and treating the axilla, but as we know, there's significant both short and long-term morbidity, you know, pain, the need for drains, lymphedema, and problems with arm function. So it's an operation we don't want to do anymore. But there's still some cases I'll propose to you where we do. So sentinel node biopsy, as you heard, has replaced axillary dissection for patients that are clinically node negative. For patients who have a negative sentinel node or isolated tumor cells, they don't need any other treatment. They don't need radiation to their axilla that isn't being given as part of their standard breast radiation. If they're mastectomy patients, they don't need anything done. For patients who have positive sentinel nodes, we use radiation and systemic therapy without dissection. For patients who have 2 positive nodes and perhaps 3 positive nodes, and I'll show you some data on that from Amaros, you don't want to be leaving any palpable nodes behind. A key part of a sentinel node surgery is using your finger and feeling around for any palpable nodes and taking them out. And then all these patients must receive both systemic therapy and radiation to fulfill the criteria of the randomized trials that showed these were equally safe. So here's my outline of who still needs an axillary dissection, and I'll go through each of these topics. First, patients who are not eligible for sentinel node biopsy for any reason, and certainly these are patients with extensive disease, bulky or matted nodes. Patients who have more than 2 or 3 positive sentinel nodes we're not sure whether radiation and systemic therapy alone are enough to take care of that. We need surgery for axillary disease that's not controlled by other modalities, so palpable nodes that remain after neoadjuvant therapy. And as we're hearing, the landscape is changing, but at present, any positive nodes after neoadjuvant therapy are also considered disease not well controlled by other modalities, and we need to have surgery. Certainly, you need to dissect an axillary recurrence in a previously irradiated axilla. You don't want to radiate the axilla twice. And if you have a scenario where there's a high local recurrence risk predicted for patients with systemic and radiation therapy alone after a positive sentinel node, maybe a really big tumor or triple negative, some other constellation of factors that make you a little more worried about local failure, you might consider dissection there as well. So let's start in which are patients that just up front you should take them right to an axillary dissection and not bother with a sentinel node. So if you're operating in a scenario where the patient has palpable nodes, and by here I mean palpable from the outside, not something that you can feel when you're doing your sentinel node biopsy on the inside, but if you've felt palpable nodes in your office and they're not getting neoadjuvant therapy, they go right to dissection. Inflammatory cancer, T4, and high-risk T3 tumors go right to dissection in most situations, inflammatory always, because of poorer mapping and higher expected axillary burden with a identifying them as patients that probably need surgery and radiation. And if you have more and more imaging done before the patient comes to see you, and their MRI or ultrasound says that they have 4 or 5 really enlarged suspicious nodes, even if they're obese and you can't feel them, those patients should probably go straight to dissection. And then other positive node scenarios that you would take right to dissection are listed here. So if the occasional occult primary that presents as palpable nodes and you can't find a primary tumor, we generally dissect those patients, and occasionally we'll find an axillary primary tumor as well as the positive nodes. If you have an axillary recurrence after somebody has had surgery and radiation, or even surgery without radiation, they need a dissection. If the patient has been shown before surgery to have positive nodes on biopsy and they're not receiving neoadjuvant therapy, you probably ought to dissect those as well. And of course, if you try to map a patient and the mapping isn't successful, they need a dissection if they're a patient where you really want to know their node status. I would not go on to dissect a mastectomy patient where you're doing a sentinel node for DCIS, where, you know, it's a low risk of finding anything. I would probably not dissect a 70-year-old woman or even a woman in her 60s who has a very small ER-positive tumor. I think you can count on radiation and systemic therapy for scenarios like that where it's a low risk of metastatic disease and a favorable biology. So which patients that are sentinel node biopsy can avoid axillary dissection? And we heard about the randomized trials, and I'll just highlight a few points from them. But we know that sentinel node biopsy and radiation was equivalent to dissection for patients who started out with no palpable disease in their axilla, and these patients did not have to have ultrasound clear disease. It was only by palpation who had positive sentinel node biopsy. And I'll talk in a little more detail about the Z11 and Amaros trials, but as Mara mentioned, the IBCSG 2301 study found that for patients who had micromets less than 2 millimeters, they did not need dissection. So what do we still not know from the data we've gotten from the randomized trial to date? And I've listed these as unknown. So we don't really know how much axillary disease can be controlled by radiation and systemic therapy without dissection, and I'll talk about what we do know. We don't really know, is residual axillary disease that remains after neoadjuvant therapy, is it resistant? Is there something special about that that needs more surgery, or can we use radiation? And then we're still learning whether axillary imaging can clarify who needs a dissection and help us with these decisions. So what do we know about how much axillary disease radiation and systemic therapy is effective for? So as we discussed, the Z11 trial had 436 patients who were node positive and had radiation without dissection, and just their criteria, clinically node negative, 1 or 2 positive sentinel nodes. Only about 18% had 2 positive nodes, and I think your slide said there were about 3% who had 3 positive nodes. So most of these patients had low volume disease. In the patients who had axillary dissection, 27% had residual positive nodes, and it's probably that 20% number of the sentinel node positive patients also had disease left behind that the radiation took care of. And overall, the axillary recurrence rate was a little over 1%, but if you say it's among those 27% who likely had residual nodes, it would be a little higher percentage of patients with residual positive nodes who were not completely controlled by the radiation. And similarly for Amaros, 1 to 3 positive nodes, only 4% had 3 positive nodes, so this was also basically a 1 to 2 positive node trial. And 33% of those had residual positive nodes. So it's pretty good, but there's some local failure rates likely in these patients who had residual disease. So given that we know that this sort of lower volume disease is well controlled, you need an axillary dissection at the present time if you have a positive sentinel node and you have more disease than we've tested in clinical trials. So if you have more than 2 positive nodes, or maybe more than 3 positive nodes, if it's a favorable tumor, ER positive or HER2 positive, where we have good systemic therapy, for triple negatives, you might be a little more cautious. Certainly any patient who has multiple positive nodes when you get into the operation, matted nodes you've identified intraoperatively that they have more extensive disease, those patients should probably be dissected. And gross extranodal extension was in the Z11, and I mentioned that just to say this isn't the little subtle extranodal extension that your pathologist reports. This is the node stuck to other things around it. So that's fortunately not very common. So what about, is radiation always better than dissection? And the trade-offs are a little different, as we've alluded to, for patients who are having lumpectomies versus mastectomies. So I think if your patient's planning a lumpectomy, radiation's almost always better than dissection. You're going to give radiation anyway. It's easy to extend the fields and even give a third field to the axilla as they did in Amaros, if there turns out to be a little more disease or higher risk scenario. I think lumpectomy patients, we really can do well by them and avoid dissection a lot of the time. However, once a patient has a mastectomy, whether you're giving radiation or not, has a lot more consequences. If a patient is having a mastectomy without reconstruction, the radiation will significantly limit subsequent reconstruction options. And if it's a mastectomy with an immediate reconstruction, there's a lot more complications if you have to radiate soon post-op and it severely worsens the cosmetic result. So is there a scenario where performing an axillary dissection would let you avoid post-mastectomy radiation in a patient who has a positive sentinel node? And it probably depends on your own institution's policies about post-mastectomy radiation. If you're at an institution that only radiates after mastectomy for four or more positive nodes, if that patient has an axillary dissection that shows they only have one to three nodes, they will be spared radiation. So clarification of how many nodes are involved is helpful to the patient in avoiding radiation, but then buys them the side effects of axillary dissection. And I think it's not clear which is the worse of the two evils there. If, on the other hand, you have an institution where your radiation oncologists are committed to radiation for any positive nodes, then that's a scenario where if you have a positive sentinel node, you carefully palpate and be sure you're not leaving anything else behind, that you may stop with your positive sentinel node and radiate as in the Amaros trial. So these are, again, this is where we argue a lot in our tumor boards about how to manage this. But this is one choice that you have with your patients. So after neoadjuvant therapy, we're eliminating axillary dissection because we know that up to 40% of initially node positive become node negative, and we hate to do an axillary dissection and find no positive nodes. Many neoadjuvant patients are already committed to radiation, and we can count on the radiation to do some of the job for us, and we know there's less morbidity with radiation than dissection. So as you heard, the accuracy of sentinel node biopsy is really pretty good. It's similar in terms of false negative rate and identification rate to upfront surgery. And in this study, the isotope alone, this is B27, isotope alone versus isotope plus both things wasn't that different. So the Z11 or Z1071 had some differences, but not so much here. Some of the meta-analyses have brought up the point, again, that Mara also mentioned, that if you have palpable nodes at presentation, clinically palpable in the office ahead of time, the false negative rates are higher, and we worry a little bit more about how complete the response is. So as we think about managing positive nodes, the patients who present with palpable nodes have a little more risk of needing a dissection. So do we need an axillary dissection in node-positive patients who become node-negative after neoadjuvant? And here, just to briefly summarize, we'd heard before the false negative rate in patients who were node-positive by a combination of palpation and ultrasound biopsies was 12.6%, a little higher than the goal of the study, but not that high. And
Again, you heard the number of nodes that are removed may make a difference. Dual tracer may give you every opportunity to get the best result. But I want to be a little careful in saying we shouldn't interpret these data to say that if you only have one or two hot nodes, that you should just keep taking other nodes to get three. It's really, the study was if there were three nodes that were hot and or blue, you did better. Just taking extra nodes isn't going to get you there. And I presume that the surgeons in these trials didn't deliberately leave sentinel nodes behind. So I think it may be a function of other properties. So the number, if you don't have more sentinel nodes, just don't take extras. And outside a trial, at the moment, axillary dissection is standard of care if you have a positive sentinel node after chemo. And this very important trial, though, is going to answer this for us. And Mira mentioned this as well. There's a randomized trial of radiation alone versus radiation plus dissection for these patients who have a positive sentinel node but are clinically node negative after neoadjuvant therapy. And hopefully in a couple of years we can give you these results and clarify this important question. So can we use imaging to help us decide who needs a dissection? And we all know that physical exam of the axilla is not very accurate. Depending on the patient's BMI, it can be extremely challenging. And ultrasound can help us identify suspicious nodes in these patients where we're not feeling anything. But there are significant false negative and false positive rates of axillary imaging that we take into account. If you have a suspicious node and it's going to change your surgical plan, it's a good idea to do a biopsy and ideally clip the node so you can be sure you're taking it out later. Most imagers are now getting better at leaving little clips in the nodes that they biopsy, and they can help us in that regard. So how good is ultrasound after neoadjuvant, since that's the area where we have the most challenges? And unfortunately, it's not as accurate as we'd like. In the Z1071 study, 611 patients had an ultrasound following their neoadjuvant therapy. Everybody had an axillary dissection. And it turned out that 39% of the patients whose axilla were read as suspicious on ultrasound actually were node negative, and 50% of patients who had normal ultrasounds had positive nodes. So far this isn't likely to be the answer for us. And the Centina trial had a similar finding. This was 715 patients who were clinically node positive, had chemotherapy up front, and here they compared examination by palpation and ultrasound and then did axillary node dissection. And we're really bad at palpation after neoadjuvant therapy, 91% false negative on physical exam for finding, node disease. And that's not a surprise. Much of this disease was fairly small. But ultrasound in their hands also had quite a high false negative rate. So these are my summary slides here. Who should go directly to axillary dissection? So first, patients who have palpable nodes at the time that you're operating on them, patients who have multiple positive nodes on preoperative imaging, patients with inflammatory cancer, T4 and high-risk T3 tumors, patients who have palpable nodes after neoadjuvant therapy, and patients who have failed sentinel node mapping where you need the node staging information for treatment decisions. Which patients that are sentinel node positive should also have an axillary dissection? And so there's the general category of patients who have high volume or resistant disease. So more than two or at most three positive nodes. If you have three or more positive nodes in the American trial or four or more positive trials nodes in the European trial, you should have a dissection. If you perform your sentinel node biopsy and there are still palpable nodes that remain that get you up to this higher numbers of nodes, then they should be dissected. And if you have positive sentinel nodes after neoadjuvant therapy outside of a trial, you need a dissection. But if you can possibly accrue to the trial, that would be very important. Which other sentinel node biopsy patients should have an axillary dissection? Those who are not receiving radiation and systemic therapy, because that's what compensates for lesser surgery. So if you have someone who's had prior radiation and can't have radiation to their axilla. For example, a patient who's having a mastectomy for a local recurrence who's had previous radiation, she needs a dissection. If a patient is having a mastectomy and you are not able to radiate her for one reason or another, she should also have a dissection. Or if it's someone who you're not going to be able to give systemic therapy to, if it's an elderly woman with triple negative disease who's not going to be able to have chemotherapy, your surgery may be her best local control for that positive axillary disease. And then fortunately, it's becoming a smaller and smaller group of patients, but there are still some patients where the dissection data will change therapy. And perhaps for patients with 1 to 3 versus 4 or more positive nodes for radiation decisions. But hopefully we can continue to manage more and more of these patients without dissection. Thank you very much.